Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started.
But metaphorically. Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of four. So, I win.
Do you?
Do I?
Shaylee, can we role play for a second?
Yeah.
I want to go back to me before prep dish.
Okay, I'll be the kid, okay. Mom, we're starving. What's for dinner?
I don't know. I cannot. My brain, it's 6 o'clock. I am done.
Yikes.
I am done.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know, but here's me after prep dish. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Hit me.
Mom, we're starving. What's for dinner?
Oh, hey, Angel. Why, tonight is coconut chicken with orange sauce and watermelon mint salad.
Wow, is it paleo? I'm watching my gluten and dairy.
Yes, it is, toddler. And guess what? I prepared it 3 days ago, and now I just have to put it in the oven.
Wow, Mom. That shows such great forethought. You seem like you're really in the driver's seat of your own life.
Thanks, three-year-old. Now go back to sorting the recycling.
As I was.
Prep Dish is a healthy, subscription-based meal planning service, and when you sign up, you'll receive an email every week with a grocery list and instructions for your prepping your meals ahead of time. And after only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll have all of your meals ready for the entire week. The founder, Allison, is offering listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out. Check it out at prepdish.com/SK for this amazing deal. 2 weeks free!
2 weeks.
Come on! Let Prep Dish do the planning for you.
Hey guys, we are jumping back into criticism, part 2, haters, fear, and creativity, and what to do when someone likes you and what to do when someone doesn't. So if you haven't listened to part 1, go back to episode 95 and check that out. And if you have, get ready for part 2.
So those are all some things about the cheap seats.
Oh man.
Those are all some things about the feedback that doesn't necessarily matter, but I do think it's important to talk about the feedback that does matter, the people you do care about, or the, you know, the professors and the directors and the clients and the feedback wherein it's appropriate. Your husband, your children,
right.
You know, you're going to get
everyone's on the same team.
Yes. You're going to
parents.
Yeah. You're going to get some things that are hard to hear sometimes. And how do you respond to those? So let's talk a bit about those. You cool with that?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Processing.
If it's coming from someone on the arena floor, if you're Brene Brown,
fighting
the people you
together.
Do care about.
Okay.
I have one thing that I like to do, and I read it in a book once.
Okay.
It was actually in a fiction book. So it just happened within a story, and it somehow just snuck into my little brain and...
Everything sneaks into your little brain. It stays there.
Seal it.
Hard drive.
When I get feedback, I think the most helpful thing to do is to ask yourself one question.
Okay.
And the question is...
I need to hear this. Okay.
The one question is this true?
Okay.
Okay. So your emotions are going to tell you to defend yourself immediately. So if someone says something, you're going to be like, no, it's not. No. And you might call your mom. And she might say, that person's an idiot.
And, or it's coming from your mom.
But, you know, like, even picture, like, the schoolyard. Like, they're mean, and that's not true. And then, mom, they're mean, and she's like, they are
my
mean.
My friend said I'm flaky, and that I never withhold my promises of obligations. And they're like, did you stand your friends up again, though? Like, is it true? Like, well,
is it true?
Maybe.
And, you know, I think those are natural. I think those are knee-jerk reactions. And I think you'd have to be, like, actually Jesus to not feel that way a little bit. To not yeah. feel like, first of all...
defensive.
First of all, I can explain why that happened. And second of all, I'm going to call someone who can also say, yeah, that's why that happened. I'm on your team. But if you can calm down and you can actually, like, take a breather, and maybe it takes you a couple hours, or maybe it hits you, like, the next week. I feel like the more mature you get, the faster you can kind of tap in. But if you can calm down and ask yourself, is this true?
Is this true?
You can actually get somewhere productive. And another,
yeah,
you know,
that's good.
Another thing that helped me with this was design school. You do critiques. Like, you do actual...
Yeah, you get ripped apart by people who are just trying to make you better.
Right. And all of it is true. You know, I kind of thought critiques were going to be... Before I knew anything about design, I thought maybe it was all going to be subjective and it's going to be like, I don't like green. But what I learned is it's all based on like principles of design. It's all based on truth. It's all like saying,
like, if you would have given it a little more light space on this side, it would feel less claustrophobic.
Right. Oh, that's true. Like, oh. Right. And if you can, if you can check your pride for a half a second and not try to defend all your decisions before you're even listening, chances are the work at the end of the day will actually end up better. And then what's cool is you get this great piece in your portfolio that you're like, oh, wow, if I hadn't kept going, it would have looked like that, you know, piece from 2 weeks ago. And wow, how cool. And it's the same with your character. So if someone comes to me and says, Katie, I need to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
This took a little bit of reflection to have to write.
Okay. Is this a true story?
You know, let's go with...
You don't have to answer that.
Let's go
you
with it. It's true-ish. It's like maybe combinations from true stories. If someone, if someone said, you know, Katie, I feel like sometimes you kind of put me on the spot in front of other people, like, and it's fun for you, and you kind of think like you're doing me a favor in some way, but like not everyone does improv comedy and enjoys that, and like you love the spotlight, but I hate it. Like, I want to die.
I feel like this is a conversation between me and my husband. I'm not kidding.
So please stop doing that. And I like, if I'm in a social situation, I just want to take my own time and get to know people. And when like the second you're there, I feel like you put the pressure on, and I just like, I hate it. And like, when I find out you're going to be somewhere, I don't even want to go. Like,
Whoa. Okay.
Crap. That makes me, first of all,
stings.
It stings. Second of all, it makes me want to say, no. Like, I'm doing it a favor. I'm a connector. I'm like, I introduce you to that person because they are hiring a designer and you are a designer looking for work. And like, I had your best interest at heart, and like, you're being weird. And like, that's my defense. Right. But right, if I can take a second, I can go, is this true? Do I do that? Let me look at this through the, let me process through this through the viewpoint of an introvert who's terrified of crowds. Ah, crap. Okay, is this true? Yes, this is true. So in my mind,
you have such good intentions, so it's hard. I'm so guilty of this.
Yeah.
It's hard to see how they could have not looked at that like you were helping them out, like a fave.
Yeah. You're lucky to have me.
You are lucky that I am here to humiliate you.
So the question is this true? Yes. Okay, so then what's the practical steps? Well, first of all, the second I realize it's true, I need to truly apologize. And I want to try to figure out, if I can't figure them out, and usually I can, practical ways to work toward not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And maybe tell them, here's how I'm going to work on that. And then if you really care about this person, and I do, I want to maybe even follow up and say, hey, I've been working on that thing you said. I heard you say I need to do this, this, and this. I've been practically working toward this, this, and this. Do you feel like it's getting better? Do you feel like you've been heard? Do you still dread going to social situations where I'm there? Because I hate that, and I don't want that.
Right.
You know, a follow-up takes a lot of maturation, because then you're asking for more feedback. Because what if it's not still good?
Right. And then they're like, yeah, you still are horrible at this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, oh goodness, this is good stuff.
So then, all right, let's take one that's, you know, maybe a bit of the flip side. And this, I will say, this is a hypothetical response, because I was kind of having trouble thinking of a real example, but
okay,
or without like embarrassing anyone.
They don't have to be real.
So let's pretend someone, a part of the Mystery Hour, says this to me. Like, I kind of feel like you are in this to get famous, and like, you would throw us all under the bus if it meant you got a better part. Okay. I can look at that objectively, and I can tell you if I were to receive that. I truly don't believe that's true.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, and, you know, not that I would need to do this, but I can probably cite to you many times where I've actually voiced, you know, I actually think this sketch would be stronger if I wasn't in it. I think this person would be better at this, you know, they're good at characters and I'm good at like deadpan, and I think maybe that we should recast this. Like, that's actually happened. Okay, so is this true? Back to the test. No. Okay, so that means a misunderstanding has occurred, and misunderstandings are my hate language. If I was Shayla, I'd say my hate language.
My hate language.
Misunderstandings are the worst. I mean,
we're going to write a book called The Hate Language.
Yes, like I feel
the
like
five hate languages.
I feel like, to a people pleaser, to know that you truly have been misunderstood, it is like crippling. It is like, oh no. oh, it's not only is it not what I intended, it's like some our wires got crossed and you took that in a way that was not meant. And oh gosh, and I even think I know when it happened, and I think I could probably
right. I said that thing and you took it this right. way. I meant it. And I think so different.
Yeah, I think if you could give me like 3 hours and like a PowerPoint, I could probably argue this so well, and like at the end I'd totally convince you. But I think like if it's someone important to you and if they've given you kind of the open space to like defend yourself in a calm matter, I do think it's worth sitting down and trying to talk through it like with their perspective in mind. But at the end of the day, there is a chance that you might not be able to convince them to have a different opinion of you. Like it might not happen. And I think your only choice after doing that and doing it in a calm, mature manner is that you kind of do have to let it go, and you kind of have to continue to like live, and you have to continue to be like kind and generous toward that person. And if you're like a spiritual person, you know, like this might be a time where you pray for that relationship and you pray for like their opinion to change, but like you can't really change your entire life to win them over. You can't quit the show to prove them wrong, you know? And sometimes you kind of just have to stand in confidence and know who you are as a person and just sort of let it go and hope for the best, hope they come around. But, you know, that's about all you can do.
Well, and it could just be that your personality reads differently to them than other people's personality, and that you can try to like plead your case. But at the end of the day, if that's the way they read you, you can't change who you are if they're choosing to read you the wrong way after you've had a conversation with them about it. I think that's the thing, too, is it's exhausting if you try to change or, like, die on the sword or, you know, whatever, fall on the sword to where it's like, I'll just quit the show or I'll refuse to be in anything so that they know
watch.
Not, like, you know, and then it's like, but they probably still don't care.
Right, exactly.
They're on to the next person and now you've given up everything you love so that this one random person who's already shown that they don't care enough about you to, like, take time to understand your side of things, you know. And I think that's where I don't know, yours are all very practical. Like, I think of, I think the most criticism I've dealt with in my life are people that I don't know at all.
Right.
It's like literal people who judge me from just not knowing me from Adam. And that's the hardest because there's not even like, there's the, you know, I dropped Opal off at Mother's Day out last week and she threw a tantrum in the morning and had a like Easter dress basically on. And they say in the handbook, like, please only send them in shorts and t-shirts, things they can play in that don't have to worry about keeping clean. Mm-hmm. So she's in this Easter dress and I'm bringing her. So I say to the lady, like, please, just so you know, you can't get this dirty. Meaning, like, there's nothing you can do to this.
Oh, no.
And so I say, you can't get this messed up. Just, you're fine. And so she, like, looked at me and then, like, we talked for, like, 3 more minutes. And right before I was leaving, she goes, so we can't get it dirty? And I was like, no, like, you can't, like, there's nothing you can do to it that'll mess that up. Like, you can destroy it. It's fine. I don't want it. And she goes, oh, I thought you were saying you can't mess this up.
Which God bless her for clarifying.
Me too. I go, I'm so glad you said something because I cannot tell you the amount of times in my life I've said something and in my brain I'm like being fun and go with the flow and they've taken it. I've phrased it to where it means the exact opposite depending on the way you take it.
Right.
That's a good example. And so I was like, I'm so glad I did not leave you. Like, what a jerk mom to be like, you can't mess this dress up. Now watch my kid for 3.5 hours. I'll see you later after lunch. I put spaghetti in her lunch bag. So anyway, that type of thing. Or this is like, so I don't know. There were like, you know, sometimes people in high school that I would hear about didn't like me, but like they didn't know me at all. So you can't, there's not like a case, which I will say, if you went to high school with me and I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I would say probably like 99% of the people in high school liked me because not even because I was like a good, like this awesome person. It's just, there's no reason anyone would not like me. Like I did everything possible.
Right.
To make sure you like, you want my homework. I will swallow all of my, like my rule following pride to let you copy of my homework if you need it because you asked me directly and I'm not going to say no.
Right.
You know, like that type of thing. So, but there were a few people who didn't and they didn't know me at all. And to me, that's what's hard is because you can't argue reasons they should have a different opinion if they have nothing to have an opinion to go on.
Right.
Other than like just random strangers.
Oh. Yeah. But back to like, people who you do care, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to kind of wrap it up with, like, two final thoughts. Number one, if you are defensive, a lot of times that reflects more on you than the person giving you feedback. So I think it's just something close to pay attention to. I think everyone has a natural defense when they receive something negative. But if you're feeling like that heat rise up and this like deflection and this like, I just think it's something to note, like, what is it about this particular subject or this particular critique that's making me feel so heated, you know, and maybe it's something you need to kind of like work through or journal through or talk to a friend about and kind of be like, it's that thing. You know, or, I was going to mention something about parenting. When I am parenting, a lot of parenting is giving your kids feedback. I mean, that's what parenting is. And, and I try to be, you know, I'm dealing with all ages. Obviously when you're three, it's more of a no, be nice. And it's quick and it's bad. But you know, I told you, I was kind of getting into like the, I don't know, 4 and up, 5 and up. I have a 5-year and a 7-year-old. They're actually almost 6 and 8. Whoa. And those I kind of said in a different episode are more like the full house moments where you're like, hey, earlier, you know, when I noticed you weren't being patient with your little sister and let's talk about that and what kind of person you want to be and the music's playing. And it's kind of like more of like a sit down character building talk. So here's something that I've been working on, and this is like, it's hard. Here's what I feel like. I feel like in your most immature state, you don't take no feedback from no one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In your, like, I've matured and I'm learning state, you receive feedback and you're like, ooh, is it true? What can I work on? How can I improve? And then in your most mature state, you seek feedback and you say, hey, is there anything I can be working on? And so something that I'd really, really love to have with my kids is like, I'm picturing like adult us later in life. I don't ever want to feel like because I've set the groundwork of I'm your parent and you're my kid and I am over you and you are under me and therefore submit and period. I don't want our adult relationship for them to feel like they can't ever bring something to me that's bothering them. I would much rather have like an open and honest conversation and get it all out there and not feel like they're stepping on eggshells around me. And so I'm kind of practicing that now. And so after our full house moment, when I say, and you know, usually it's a compliment sandwich, you're doing really good on this thing. I do think you could work on this thing. Okay, you're right. Do you feel that way too? Okay, cool. How can I help you remember? How can I, you know, what are some practical ways I can help you remember whenever you're feeling like you're going to do that again? How can I, you know, and then we end it and I say, is there anything you need me to work on? But it is awful.
That's loaded.
It is so scary because sometimes.
Can you give some examples?
You know, and sometimes it's not like they just have something ready. But I feel like even by asking that, when things do arise and it's not a full house moment, like Callie can be like, Mom, you kind of feel it. I feel like you kind of keep snapping at me today. And, you know, like during the move when I'm like, just go watch TV. I'm just, guys, I just packed this box. Why is it unpacked? What is going on here, guys? Is everyone like trying to kill me? Like, what is going on? Mom, I feel like you're kind of snapping at us, Mom. You know, and then it's kind of like a, oh no, I am. Hey, what if we all sit down and play sorry for half an hour? And then after sorry.
Mama is sorry.
Good job. I didn't even think
I'm not going to apologize. We're all going to play the game sorry.
And you can read into it.
Whoever wins has to say, I'm sorry.
And then after that, you know, we can take some time where you guys go sit quietly and Mom can get some concentrated work done. But like you said, Shaylee, even when, like, I think Opal was even less than 1 year old at the time, or maybe, you know, right around between one and two age, you're like, isn't it amazing how, like, when you get on the floor and you do the puzzle with your kid, they're like an angel child. And it's kind of true. So like, she can kind of call me out like, Mom, if you're snapping at everyone, like, oh yeah, you're right. Okay. But I kind of like that she can call me out on true things now. And she knows that it's like a safe place to do so. And so, and you know, with Jared, like if they're in my marriage, if there are things where it's like, ooh, babe, this thing keeps popping up and it's, you know, I kind of didn't think it was a big deal, but now I'm kind of thinking like, it really, really bothers me. Can we have a conversation about it? Okay, cool. Do you agree? All right. So you're going to work to change on that. Okay, man, now are you brave enough to say, is there anything for you that you want me to be working on?
I can work on?
Yes. I mean, and in Grace-Based Parenting, which is a great parenting book, I love it. It's kind of like the principles of all of my everything.
Okay, life.
They do, your life motto. With their teenagers, so I think it's about, and they have all ages too. So, I mean, you know, probably their youngest is 10 and their oldest is 18 at this time. They would have family meetings, you know, just like once a week to kind of check in. Like, it's Monday, it's dinner. And after dinner, let's sit at the table for just a little bit longer and check in with each other. And they would say, they would do a section called, what's your beef? And it's so funny.
What's your beef?
And so they'd say, what's your beef with me and mom? What have, you know, what's bothering you? What have we been doing that's like bugging you? And their rule was they had to listen to their kids and they could not defend themselves.
Oh,
because our natural tendency is to be like, no, you misunderstood. What I did there was actually this. And instead they're just, they gave their kids permission to, you know, actually say what they were thinking. And then of course later, like if it's something you obviously can identify as a misunderstanding and you do feel it's important to like, you know, you can have a guided conversation about that, but just the willingness to like sit there and take it. Like, what a great example you're setting for your kids to be able to take criticism.
And a lot of times they just want to be heard.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to be able to say their thing, and that's showing just so much respect. Last night, I was putting Opal to bed, and I was not feeling great. Mm-hmm. I was feeling very sick last night, just having a sick night. And we're living in my parents' apartment because we're still not moved in. And she's just a squirmy little lady. She's 2.5. And she was squirming, and then she was, like, kicking me and, like, touching my face, and she was singing. It was really sweet if I wasn't sick. And I was laying in there with her trying to get her to go to bed. It was one of those where I'm like, I can lay my body next to you, but that's as much exertion as you're getting from me. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't read her a book. I wouldn't sing her a song. I wouldn't do anything. I think for some reason, if you're, like, half asleep and the kid's doing things, it's, like, everything's amplified by a bazillion.
Totally.
So I think I kept going half asleep, and then she would, like, wake me up by doing something that probably wasn't even that bad, but I was sick and I was half asleep. So I ended up just saying, like, I don't know. It was the closest to shouting at her. I raised my voice, and I said, I was like, I just need you to stop talking and just lay. Just lay down and go to sleep. And I, like, said it, and she, like, covered herself up with the covers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laid there, and then she came out, and she looked at me, and she goes, I'm in a tent because you hurt my ears when you said that. And then she covered herself back up. And I thought, oh, no. And then she like came back out of her tent and she goes, Mommy, you hurt my ears when you said that like that. Please don't talk that loud again. You scared me.
Hmm.
And then like covered back up in the tent. And I thought, oh, that's so horrible. She's like, you know, not mad or not anything, but like expressing herself in what I did and how that I didn't even have to ask for her feedback. She just was giving her sweet little unsolicited advice. So then I apologized and talked about how Mommy wasn't feeling good and I shouldn't have. Anyway, it was just really sweet. Aww. But it's like hearing that from your kids or your husband. I think it's easy to get defensive, but then I think it's, yeah, it takes a lot more of a mature, practiced place to be able to listen to it and think, yeah, is it true? Okay, yeah.
And then my one last challenging question.
Okay.
And this might be a little bit woo-woo, but I think it's kind of true.
Okay.
You know, there's kind of this like old saying of like what goes around comes around. And, you know, maybe it's provable, maybe it's not, but it's kind of just a theory of like when you're nice, you receive nice, you know, what you put in, put good into the world and you'll get good back to you. And it's just kind of like it's an optimistic way to live.
Pay it forward.
Yeah. But what's interesting is I think it can kind of go with criticism too. So my question would be, and to myself, is if you feel like you're getting kind of like a weird wave of criticism or, you know, like more than normal, like you feel like you're like say you just found out a group of people were like trash talking you behind your back and like that's not something you're used to and it just feel like it came out of nowhere. My question would be, have you been criticizing people lately? Have you been talking about other people behind their back? Have you been cattily just throwing shade while watching The Bachelorette and being
that's
like,
what I was gonna her say, butt's weird. People you don't know.
Yes,
never...
yes.
Yeah.
Do you make a joke when you see someone on the side of the road to your husband because you know it's just between you, but like, what if that is negative energy? What if it really is that you're like putting into the universe and it does come back to you?
Or you're just practicing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're practicing something or modeling something for your children.
Yeah.
That now they're going to take in a different direction or not realize that, you know, even if you're like energy thing, whatever, but even if you were just like, no, but you're setting an example mm-hmm. and you're practicing a behavior that's making it easier to do. If you do it without even thinking of it,
right,
then you're just creating a space. And I would throw in there too, the people that you surround yourself with. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But there are certain people that I will get around that will say things, and then like I hop in and say things. I'm like, why am I saying things? I normally
yes,
I'm not
it's almost
saying
addictive.
Things like this, but now like they're laughing and I'm laughing and like we're hilarious. And you're like this, even if it's like, you know, a show or like The Bachelor or something where you're like, these people are never gonna, but then you think like there are people who, I don't know if that's art, but they've put something out in the world.
It's show business though. Yeah.
It's show business. Yeah. They've subjected themselves to other people's opinions right. and the editor's decisions on what to include and what not to include. But yeah, it's the same thing of like surround yourself with people who bring out the best in you mm-hmm. in that. Or I think a good rule is if I took out being critical or making fun of people that I may or may not ever meet, if I took that out of our relationship, would there be anything left to talk
right,
about?
Right.
Do we have a relationship? Is that the relationship?
Why do when you know, I leave you, is, I feel sad inside?
I feel
empty.
Bad inside, yeah. And if you took that out of the relationship, like, is that all that you have in common? And I think a lot of that is maybe, like, even in, like, co-working environments, if you work in an office. I think where I've seen
yes.
it a lot
yes.
because there's nothing to do but talk trash on who's getting a raise and who's not getting
a raise.
Or even
the clients. The clients.
Yes, yeah. This dumb clients just keeping us working, paying our bills.
Asking us to complete the work on time.
Yeah, who are they to think they should get what they paid for? But yeah, I think, and people, it's not fun for other people to talk negatively about others when they're not, it's not being reciprocated.
Right.
So I think that's something if you're like, well, everyone else is talking bad about everyone else, but I'm not. And it's like, are you in the middle of it? Because usually it's not like a one-way thing. So it's probably not, you got to be like giving it oxygen at some point.
Yeah. And not to mention like Shaylee and I are guilty of like when you, this is, please believe I'm not trying to like be self complimentary here, but like when you do feel like,
I was like, what are you going to say? We trash people.
No, just do, when you do feel like you kind of have a quick wit, sometimes like these jokes just sort of rise or the sarcasm.
They're in my head.
Yeah, like they just kind of
blurt out.
It's like, oh, I got a joke about apples. Blah, 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 blah. We all talking about apples? Okay, and now we're all talking about her. I got a joke about that too. Like it just like boo, boo, boo. And it's like that is not an excuse at all to participate.
Just since you know you're going to get laughs doesn't mean
exactly.
it should be said.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think every comedian who's been in the headlines for something inappropriate would agree with that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, did you get laughs? Maybe. But is it worth your career's over? Yeah. Yeah, I think, though, that that's right. And with the, you were saying, like, the woo-woo, what you get given to the world is what you get back. I think that's, even if you look at it really practically, I think you could look at that, too, what you give out into the world is the type of people you attract and they give back to you.
Yeah.
I look at it kind of even like that, of, like, you attract the type of people. If you are just out bad-mouthing everyone and talking about negative things and making fun of people and whatever, mm-hmm. and it's not even like you're a bad person. Like, we've all done it, probably, unless you're Audrey DeFord. She's probably not done it, but everyone else, whatever. It's not that you're a horrible person, but you get into, like, a rut of it, and then people think that you're funny who also do it, and then you surround yourself with people, and then you can't really stop because you've built these relationships based around it and that you call each other when something dramatic happens because you need to debrief about the gossip in the, you know, the office. So it's like, it's hard to kind of dig out, but I don't think it's a positive. Mm-mm. Yeah. It's not a positive place to dwell.
Mm-mm.
You're becoming the critic. So much to unpack with criticism and haters.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're the hater? When do you care what the haters think? And when do you not?
Mm-hmm.
Katie, this is It's a lot here.
It's a lot.
You're going to wrap. So to wrap it up, it's like a nutshell.
So to wrap it up
here at the end.
Is this true? Have you been talking crap on people? Is this true?
Is this true?
Because the good news is, if it's not true, you can at least feel good about that, too. Like, I am receiving criticism, and I actually truly believe I haven't been dishing it out behind people's backs. So, you know, at least I can feel good about that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Anyway, I do think it's important to create. I think it's worth it. I think creating this podcast is worth it. If you don't like us, let us know in the iTunes reviews, and it'll be good practice for Shaylee.
Gosh, yeah, it'll be good practice. Just you can be just leave a 5-star review, and then you can talk about my voice. Just give me that at least.
Here's the thing, she did.
I'm just kidding.
She did.
It was like a 4. Yeah, it wasn't a bad review. It's just my voice. Okay, she specifically said, "I'm sorry if the girl." Now I feel like people are gonna go find it, and like I don't think you can find like the actual person, but. She said she could only stand to listen to a few minutes at a time. So then I had this visual of her like listening to like 4.5 minutes. And then like I go into a voice and she's like, oh man, I got to stop. And she's like dabbing her forehead with like a sweat cloth. And then she's like, okay, I think I can dive back in now. And then she listens for like 3.5 minutes and is like, boo, I got to stop. Just a few minutes at a time. Like, how long does it take you to get through like an hour long episode? Oh, woo. It's like an 8-hour work day just to listen to one.
That's so good.
All the breaks. Anyway, sorry. Am I heckling her? I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a very kind person.
It's hard.
You're a kind person. Hold on. We're going to practice. You're a kind person who doesn't have a lot of vocal variety in your life. And that's okay. I'm here.
Brought to you by backhanded compliments. And we're
solicited
back.
Or unsolicited. And we're back. Just kidding.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break for the sponsor, and then we'll come back and let you practice this. Okay.
Shaylee, I just took my 4 kids on a road trip to Colorado.
Oh.
And I want to tell you how Grove Collaborative saved me, like, I mean, I'm not good at math, but I'm guessing, like, probably 100 hours.
Wow. How
like
did
100
it,
hours.
How did it save you that much time?
It's a little thing called their flagship brand, Grove Collaborative Hand Sanitizer Spray.
Oh, yes.
It's the blood orange smell with the moisturizing coconut oil. Let me tell you how it saved me time.
Okay.
We had to stop 8,000 times to go to the bathroom, which already takes about an hour each time you stop. And then if you want your 3-year-old to wash their hands, that takes another 700 hours each time you stop.
Right, because they need like 4 pumps of that like soap that's not working.
And you get your wet and then the towel and the line and the, oh no, I wanted to do it a different way. Oh wait, my fingers are people and now they're taking a bath. And no! I busted out this orange spray, and now she's like, ooh, can I just use the orange spray? Yes, you can. Let's get this show on the road.
While we're driving, I'll spray all your hands. I'll spritz them.
And it made the road like trip more pleasant because it smelled good.
It smelled like orange.
I like it.
You just have to announce before you leave the bathroom that you're sanitizing.
I tell everyone in there, like, let's just use that hand sanitizer I have in my car.
Let me get my essential oils non-toxic hand sanitizer out. Okay, I got you, kids.
I wouldn't just let you leave unwashed.
No.
If you're a listener, you can sign up for Grove Collaborative and you will receive $30 in Mrs. Meyer's products,
like,
a bonus gift.
No, yeah, no joke.
It provides you with unlimited free shipping, free full-size gift every couple months, price match guarantee, amazing personal service.
Ladies, go to grove.co/sk and sign up.
And we're back. Okay, Shaylee, I want you to practice what you've learned here, right?
We're going to play
a game called Immature Response. Mature response. Most mature response.
Oh, okay. So immature, mature, most mature.
Okay, so you overhear someone throwing shade at you because you drive a fancy car and you got nice things and they think you're like rich. Okay.
All my anthropology stuff. Okay.
And then you run into them and it's awkward because you know this has been said, but you haven't seen them in person yet. Okay. Immature response.
Said.
Go.
Oh gosh. Hey Vanessa. Oh my gosh, I just came from the shop because my car is, did you know my car is 10 years old? It's 10 years old. Actually, it was my sister's old car and she sold it as under trade-in value. It was like less than we were even budgeting for. We almost didn't even have a car payment. It's crazy. This piece of junk, this car. Anyway, well, I was going to go shop Target clearance for 75% off the sale, but I didn't have any money, so I didn't buy anything. You know. You understand.
You're poor.
We're poor together. Okay, that would be my immature.
Yeah, that's good, because you felt like you needed to explain it.
Everything, right. And then I also backhanded complimented them. By saying that they were poor. Okay. That was like that was the most immature part. Okay. Right.
And a mature response would be,
"Hey Vanessa," and then I keep walking. That would be mature.
Yeah, wow.
But like not addressing it, but like not addressing anything?
Yeah, okay.
Right. Okay. 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 Or maybe I just do like a little like head nod, like a tilt, like sup.
Okay. Most okay. Mature, like if you were like, "Is that Jesus or Shaylee?" Okay. I don't know.
Is that Jesus or Shaylee? Okay. I'm floating. in. "Hey Vanessa. Hey, can I take you out to lunch? I have a buy one, get one free coupon. I didn't have anyone else to use it on." I'm just kidding. No, "Hey, can I take you to lunch? I've really been wanting to, like, get to know you a little bit better." Cut to, we're having lunch. I'm asking her all these questions about herself. And then I say, "Is there anything that you think that I could improve on?"
Whoa. Just
in our relationship or my life? Like, I just really want...
to grow.
You to like me! I want you to like me! I don't know how to do it mature. I think I just have to walk away.
I think you passed.
And I'll get the tab because I'd be rolling. I'd be rolling in it. We probably work at the same job in this scenario. We probably make the exact same money.
That is so funny. Good job. I feel like, you know what? It's a good goal, but I don't know that I'm going to get there in this world, but I'm going to try.
Shaylee, this is our season finale. Can you believe it?
No.
It's like it just started.
It really did go fast.
Season 7. What a season it was.
You came, you went.
Yep, you were hot mostly.
Usually.
Did you actually have any lemonade?
Did I have any lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of lemonade.
Metaphorical or just actual?
No, literally. Opal's on a lemonade kick now.
Okay. All right.
And I go to Chick-fil-A and I say, "Can I have a water with like a splash of your lemonade in it?"
That's a good tip.
Instead of lemonade water down, see? They can't really charge you if you're asking for water and then just a little squirt of lemonade.
So as of this recording, it is August 15th.
August
15th. And today 15th. Is the official, for me, first day of school.
Yeah.
And so I just sent a second grader, kindergartner, and my youngest two are away from me for the first time ever.
Yeah,
this is a big deal. I paid for childcare today for the first time ever.
Katie is 100% four kid free.
Ooh,
for a block of hours.
Do you want to know what I did for my very first hour of paid childcare?
Yes.
I'm going to make you guess. What do you think I did?
Did you go to Target?
I knew it. But I had
get a coffee at Target?
I did not get a coffee. Okay. I was like, I'm not going to be a monster.
That's impressive.
I'll bring my own coffee.
I would have had like a Frappuccino with a whipped cream.
But I went in with a very clear goal. I'm going to try to be a little bit more intentional when I start my work hours.
Okay.
And I want to do just a little bit of hand to paper planning.
Uh-huh.
You know, I went all digital with my to-do list.
All right.
And I still think that's true. But I think it's kind of nice to have a tactile moment before you start your session. So okay. I went with the clear vision of mine to get an actual like spiral bound planner.
Oh, you and went and you like, bought a pretty planner, didn't you?
I bought a pretty planner. Okay. And you know what? I am no regrets. And then I went and sat and I strategized and I have very
in Target?
Clear,
still in Target?
No, I went to Starbucks.
You had all the chains.
You know, I just had a real, like, white lady morning.
Did you have on yoga pants?
I thought about changing. I saw a lot of yoga pants.
Did you
at both Target and
wear
Starbucks.
A shirt that said, "But first coffee"?
But first.
And a messy bun.
Coffee. You know what
yoga
shirt
pants,
I wore? You know
what
shirt I'm wearing right now?
Yeah.
"All I need is coffee and a whole lot of Jesus."
I was going to say something about prayer and
I don't
yoga
know. I
and
can't
coffee.
Remember. Yeah. Okay, I'm not actually wearing
She's
that.
Wearing all black.
Surprise!
I can see her.
I had a vision of having a really good hair day, and then it rained.
You did have a good hair day.
Oh, well.
Katie's looking hot, y'all.
Guys, I am going to kick booty. I broke down my childcare hours. I broke down what I want my billable hours to be, my annual goal, and what I need to make each hour in order to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
I have my high-end goal, and I have my minimum goal. And
wow.
If I land somewhere in between, I'll be happy. So I'm going to keep you guys posted on how I'm planning to... go about that and whether or not I'm hitting it or not.
And for the record, you have not had paid childcare
ever.
Ever. And your oldest one is eight. So it feels like this is a really big deal.
Yeah.
What pushed you over the edge was home renovation. You can't be a stay-at-home mom without a home.
It's true.
To house the momming in.
Here's what pushed me over the edge.
Okay.
What pushed me over the edge was emotionally feeling like I literally was always multitasking. And I really, it's like an experiment. I want to see what it's like when you're like, these are my 5 work hours today.
Right.
Instead and then I'm going to put it up.
Instead of spending 10 hours with your child trying to work and mom.
Yes.
It's let's spend 5 hours working and then 5 hours momming.
Yes. And the 5 hours that I'm working, knowing that like you're being taken care of very intentionally.
Right.
But the other thing that I think kind of forced my hand was we didn't know what kind of house we were going to end up in. It turned out that we're in a fixer upper, and once we get construction going, which who knows when that will start, you know how that goes. Yeah. It's going to be a situation where, like, again, it's hard to stay home or work from home when there's
you
no
don't
home.
Have a home, or there's 5 men in your home.
Yeah.
Making loud noises while like, you're trying to put like your kids to bed.
like a truck or a, yeah, we're going to like pour foundation, a hammer.
Nail gun that does the like, the pressure.
Guys, thing. We know about tools in this segment.
We're like Bob the Builder. We make sounds that contractors make.
So I'm excited, but I am feeling a little bit weird today because this is like, it feels like a comeback. Like, oh, I remember 8 years ago when I was super professional. Let's see if I can tap into that side of me again. Woo!
That's exciting,
but the
though.
Planner kind of helped.
So if I hang out with you now during your billable work hours...
You owe me $6.25 an hour.
Okay, $6.20. I can do that.
Okay.
I'll write you a check.
Okay, thanks.
For the $6.25.
Yeah. Right. And then renovation update. We have contractors coming through and bidding. We are planning to add on a master and an additional children's bedroom.
Okay.
And we are also, the bonus would be to add on a covered screen and porch at the back. So we'll see if all the budget, But another thing was like, you know what would be hard is to work from home with no home. You know what's going to be hard? Funding construction. Put your hands together. What if I go make some money?
I have an idea. I can make more than $6.25 an hour. Maybe.
Or can I?
We'll find out. We will find out.
Not if I buy Starbucks during that hour.
Not if you go to Target and buy fancy planners.
And you know, I think I'll need one.
You think what?
I think I only need one planner.
Only need one.
I don't think that's a daily purchase.
If you're me, you feel like you're going to start doing better every time you purchase a new journal or planner.
Maybe it was the planner.
Right. You buy the... You know what? My life's a mess. I bet it's because I need a new Oh Joy planner.
It's true. You know why I'm not working out? It's probably the outfit.
I need some new tennis shoes.
Exactly. Okay, so what about your work update? What's your plan?
Well, school, quote unquote, I will call it school loosely, preschool. Opal's going to do preschool this year at a new place. Last year, it was like just Mother's Day out. So that's new. And we have like a little meet the teacher that doesn't start until it starts Monday.
Okay.
So it's next week, but it's not full time. But between that and my mother, I'll have about 50-50 working and not.
Do you have a goal of billable hours?
2.5 days. I don't have a goal of billable hours. We bid more project to project. And so sometimes I'll add my billable hours into the bid, but then it just kind of turns into you win some, you lose some.
Right.
So I usually don't, I guess unless it's interior design. I don't have a goal though. I feel like I've been fitting more billable hours into
the cracks.
Cracks of my life, of my sanity. So I feel like my goal would almost be less billable hours, if nothing else. Like find more places to not be doing some things that I'm doing that I could outsource.
I guess what I mean is like, do you think on average you work like 20 hours a week?
It depends on the week.
Okay.
And we also have several work trips coming up.
Oh, that's
that
true.
I will then be on. So we have like 3 or 4 this, that are right? like 4 days. So yeah, I would say some weeks I fit 20 hours in, some weeks I fit 40 hours in. I've had a few 8-hour meetings this week, so that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
They were fun meetings, but sitting anywhere for 8 hours is tough for me. So yeah, that's work.
We renovation? Have
work. And that's fun to do, is have work that's picking up and being busy. And then also
renovating a house that's taking longer than you thought. All of the people who heard my first reno plan and laughed happy, sad tears for me, knowing that it was going to take longer, we're not running into things that are like, oh no, we're having a few of those little like, oh, that's rotted, we need to clean that up. But it's nothing that sets us back more than like half of a day. What we're doing is more by choice that we plan to do. So it's more of the, well, I guess we should go ahead and redo the floor in the kitchen. Well, if we're redoing the floor in the kitchen and we want to move that little island thing out of the way, then let's go ahead and do that. That makes sense to do while we're redoing the floor, which will mean we need to get new countertops.
Wait. Wait, I've read this book. If you give a mouse a...
If you give a mouse a cookie, they're going to redo the whole kitchen.
That's right.
That's kind of what it was. Yeah, they gave me a cookie and now our kitchen's gone. so then we were like, maybe we could get a structural engineer to take this wall out where the refrigerator was going to go. So then it'll have to be pieced into the kitchen cabinets. But if we're piecing it into the kitchen cabinets and we're getting a new countertop and we're getting a new floor, why not just get new kitchen cabinets? So you can sell your kitchen on Facebook Marketplace.
Did you?
We did.
What?
We listed it for $2,000 and said, granite, cabinets, the dishwasher that's on its last leg, the sink, which it's attached, you know. And then we said, come get it and pay us before you take it out. And it's yours. And if you break it, you already bought it. And people were fighting over it. It was strange. We have a friend in Kansas City that sold his whole kitchen like that for $3,000, but he had a huge island with granite. And Kansas City cost of living's higher. So we were like, $2,000. But we probably could have asked for a little more. But I will say custom cabinets are expensive. So it put a dent in, you know, maybe we covered the cost of the countertops, depending on what we go with. But we're doing our kitchen now, too. We're doing kitchen. We're doing everything in the house. So we're doing more than we thought we were. So
what
now,
are you doing for cabinets?
Well, we're not living there.
I mean, what are you going to do for
cabinets? Oh, custom cabinets.
Like what kind? Shaker?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a shaker style white all the way to the ceiling, which they're like 9-foot ceilings, so hopefully it'll be pretty.
What color on the countertops?
Probably white quartz. Yeah. It scares me a little bit because I've seen them chip, but the sales guys say that they're just as strong as granite. If we can find a granite we like, which I doubt, we don't want to go Carrara marble. We want to go Carrara marble, but it stains, and we've already had to babysit concrete countertops in the past, so I want something that I can set anything on and never have to worry about it staining.
And you're doing white subway tile?
White subway
so
tile.
You're like all white kitchen.
It's going to be white. Everything will be white. We thought about doing all black granite, like almost solid black granite countertops. Yep. So, and then there's another area that's separated a little bit, but still in the kitchen, that's going to be like a little island that comes out in a lower countertops that we're going to do in like wood. We're going to have custom made.
Cool.
And we're doing that with trade out, guys. If you're redoing your house and you have a saleable product, find a woodworker that does custom cool salvage woodworking that needs promotional videos.
Oh, nice.
Trade that out, because that's what we're doing.
Or a cabinet shop?
Yeah, here's what I found. Blue-collar guys don't really care. I, like, ask a window guy and, like, HVAC, like, you guys need a video? But I found, like, in the blue-collar world, it's usually, like, we do radio ads or we get our stuff produced for free by the television station,
right,
or we don't care. We've never done it for 30 years and I'm 80. Why would I care? Why would I start now?
Yeah.
I don't need your promo. And so I ask everyone.
You're like the motion type moving
right?
graphics.
Right? You can talk on it. No. You don't like to talk. Okay. Got it. so yeah, that's kind of our reno update. Fall is our release date into the home, hopefully. We're still living in my parents' apartment.
For the record, I'm in the apartment right now, and I'm pretty sure
it is
more square foot than our
current. It's not more square footage than our house, but they have a smart TV, and it has, I mean, we're all sleeping in one bedroom, which is challenging with a toddler, but I cannot complain. We are not, like, living in a bedroom of my parents' home, you know, all on top of each other, so very thankful to have this as an option in the meantime. So,
well, I'm so excited to see the progress.
I
feel like you need to do another walkthrough.
I can do another walkthrough. It's like a war zone right now, man. But
it's going to be so pretty though, guys.
Yeah. Hopefully.
I cannot wait. Okay, so do you have any goals before we resume on season 8? What's Shayla going to work on?
Yeah.
You done the 10x10?
I did it.
You did it?
I did it.
Did you take any pictures?
I didn't.
Oh, that's okay.
And I will say, Moving, doing a 10 by 10 probably is a little different because I don't feel like I capitalized on the, and I did it last minute because when we interviewed Star, it was coming up really quick. So I just pulled like 10 pieces of things together. But what I didn't do well is pull like pieces that I could intermix well.
Right.
So instead of like this creative way to wear stuff in a new way you wouldn't have thought of before, it was like, I'm going to pick these three dresses that I'm going to wear four times.
Right.
No one said it. Jonathan never mentioned like, you've worn that red striped dress like five times.
Isn't
in the
that
last...
interesting? I feel like that's always a little bit of a bummer. Like you're why did I care so much?
And it was, I will say, it was very simple. It did take a lot of guesswork out of the, and what I found was I only liked about half of what I picked. So it like made it, there were like four decisions. Like I picked some jeans and just plain like white or black tops and like, but I pretty much just wore the dresses because it was like one piece covers my whole body.
I know, dresses sometimes are just the ticket in the summer.
But I did it.
Hey.
Is this the first time you've asked me to follow up and I did it the whole time?
Yeah.
I did it. I did it. And then I looked at Star, her well fiber, and she like did it perfectly.
I know. She's
I physically did it. If you want to see how to do it,
go to Star.
Go to Star. So goals would be, I think just honestly, get the house done and move in.
Mm-hmm.
Work on some, I know we've chatted about things that we're wanting to do to kind of move forward, creative ideas we've had. So keep that all moving.
Yep.
On personal projects, podcast projects, and then just business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay.
I think getting into the house is like 4-in-1, I feel like.
I know. my goals, I'm going to go shallow this time.
Okay.
I feel like, speaking of clothes, I have been a minimalist for 8 years, and sometimes that's because I didn't have anywhere to go. So sometimes...
There's no reason.
I remember being like, oh, I need to wear this cute outfit to girls group, and then Sunday would roll around. I'm like, well, hey, none of the people in my girls group
outfit.
Go to church with me, so I can wear it again. And then, oh, something popped up on Monday. Well, no one on that Monday thing is going
to It's the classic wear an outfit Sunday night to church and then wear it Monday morning. And if you go to school with anybody you go to church with, you're like, oh, no.
But I'm realizing now, because if I'm going to head into the world and like, first of all.
You've been out in the world, Katie.
How exciting to like... have a reason to shower every day. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have purpose again.
There's no other reason to shower.
I remember this. I remember, like, doing my hair every day and, like, wearing makeup every day. But I do feel like I'm looking at my closet going like, oh, I don't know. I might have to add some stuff to it now. Look at me. You're, like, paring down.
I'm paring down.
I'm going to go shopping. But here's the thing. I'm sticking by that one episode where I said... if I'm not at my goal weight, I don't want to buy clothes.
Okay.
Because that's like saying I plan to stay here.
Are you saving that
as a treat?
Journey update for like an episode on the next season or?
Well, I'm not there yet. So I guess it's kind of like.
Well, you look like you are.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's the black.
Just a vortex. The black.
Target this morning, like I kind of breezed by the clothing, but I didn't like go in because I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not at my goal weight. And I feel like that's the reward. So if I can get by until the end of my next whole 30, then maybe I can reward myself with like, okay, and now I'm going to take $100 and I'm going to add some stuff
to my body.
Of course, if I follow Star's rules, I'll add one item from Eileen Fisher.
Yes. But it will be, you'll be able to wear it for generations.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on the next season of Shaylee and Katie, we will see how we're doing with our business goals.
Yes.
Our renovation goals.
We'll see how this is goals with a Z.
How our houses
are shaping up.
Are shaping up. Hopefully they'll be
in shape.
How our bodies are shaping up. And
how our kids are shaping up.
And whether or not I freaked out and bailed on the childcare thing.
Is Katie still a mom out in the world, living her life, showering every day?
Am I still showering every day? Guys, these are the stuff that you have to stay tuned to find out.
These are the hard-hitting topics that you want to know.
But also, like, will my kids be in boarding school by then? Because at this rate, I don't know.
At this rate, you're like, you know what would be easier? then not being with my kids most of the day would be also not being with them at all.
Oh, that actually hurts me.
For months at a time.
For the record, it's 1:30 p.m. and I'm picking them up at 2 p.m. and I'm feeling right.
She's excited.
I'm feeling like, oh, my babies.
Right. No, she's definitely excited to see them. You're doing great. And if you're bored your kids, I'm sure they love it. Just for the record.
What was that?
If you bored your kids.
Bored?
Boarding school.
Oh! That's the disclaimer you're worried about? All the moms
that listen to this, if you bored your kids, you have more important things to do than listen to this podcast, probably. But yes, that's the board I was talking about.
Like racquetball.
Not waterboard your kids. That's not what I was talking about.
You know what I thought you were saying?
What?
Like, when, like, childbearing, like, if you, but if you, I thought you were trying to do the past tense of, like, bear.
If you bored.
If you're bored, your kids, you're doing a good job.
Oh, like, bored.
Gave birth to them?
I don't know. Like, bore them, but in the past tense. Okay,
guys, wow. A lot of vocabulary
coming up on season eight. Mm-hmm. Also, I will say, we have some people who've reached out and some people we've reached out to, and we have a lot of really, really good interviews lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have all the answers. Just most of them.
No.
Right?
No.
Many?
Any?
Few?
Question?
Okay. Board? We have some answers. We don't know if they're right, but we'll answer questions.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? Our email list. This is a big one.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're on our email list already, you know
you the value. You have been enjoying our newsletters.
Our newsletters. Okay, so we have an email list. Because we're supposed to. And I will say, I can promise you, listen, get close. If you sign up for our email list,
we will not spam you.
We will not spam you. In fact,
we have yet to send out
an email. We have yet to send out an email. We will literally, it will be nothing. It will be no, we will not impact your life at all at this point.
But man, if we do.
In the future, there's ideas happening. There's going to be, we've thrown out the word videos. If we just find someone to help us with that. Yeah, man, I tell you what, there will be an email one day and it will be worth it.
It's going to rock your world.
The idea was that we would promo the seasons coming back. We didn't, but the list is still there.
Because we're busy moms.
We're busy moms.
It's kind of a miracle we pulled off this.
We're too busy to market ourselves, but we know that we should. We have the tools. All that to say, on our Instagram, at Shaylee and Katie, go to our link tree. Now, just for the fun of it, sign up for our email list.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be
emails. Such an email.
Valuable emails pouring in at some point, but at a slow rate.
Like a leaky faucet in my basement.
Be more worried to sign up for our email list that you'll never get an email than you would get too many sales emails. And all of that to say, I digress. I'm going to throw out the buzzword e-course. We've talked and not talked about that in the past.
All of these are words.
All of these are words and things that are popular. Email list. Promo. E-course. Uh-huh. All the reasons you should sign up. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? Any other big things?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do one of those Q&A things at some point on Instagram. So follow us on there. I have to figure out how that's done, but I've seen it done.
Yeah.
And some of the questions are kind of hard that people ask. So just lob us some easy ones.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta go pick up my kids. Do you think they'll remember who I am?
Probably not. But
oh my gosh.
They'll remember by tomorrow when you drop them off again.
Okay.
Katie, you did a good job.
Thanks.
You're a good mom.
Thank you.
You're just processing through what some moms have to go through at like 6 weeks old who work full time.
I know.
Now you're like one with them. Mm-hmm. You're a well-rounded, well-encompassed mother. It says pick up the girls, and this music will play us out for the season. Thanks for a good season 7.
Do we have the rights to this ringtone?
I don't think anyone has the rights for that ringtone. That has to be computer. A computer owns the rights to that, right?
I think a robot composed that. One more really important update.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, turn it off. If you are ready for this.
Well, how will they know?
Well, I don't know. Just listen and then
we're rambling now. All right, okay.
Becca has made her choice in a husband.
Oh. Becca's made her choice in a husband.
Yep.
This is your trashy TV update.
She chose
Garrett over Blake. I'm so sorry if we spoiled that for you. If you haven't watched it yet, you're not a true fan, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's on you.
That's on you. I said hearts were broken.
Yep.
And then Opal goes, whose heart was broken? And one time she walked in while I was watching The Bachelorette, and she said, "Why he licking her?" And then I realized this is the point where only PBS can be on if Opal's ever in the room. That's the point, guys. That's the point. If you need to know what level your child understands, then just put on The Bachelorette. And
Blake, if you're listening, we would love for you to come on and be a guest.
We will interview you.
I hope you don't cry the whole time.
Right. He was showing his emotions.
Actually, Garrett cried more than him.
Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We love hearing from you guys on Instagram, email, especially our favorite place of all, iTunes reviews.
Guys, we love reviews, and they help other people hear about the podcast, and we actually read every single one.
We read them, and we squeal, and we screenshot them.
Then maybe we text them to each other.
It's weird, but anyway, we appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for sharing the podcast on social media.
If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com or find us at shayleeandkatie.com.
We could not do this without you. And we love you.
We love you. We're in love with you.
Too soon?